progressive life. You may or may not like that, but I'm bringing you thoughts about a progressive life. And that's what we'll be talking about today. And I hope that you enjoy yourself. Sit back. Write this number down, though, so in case you want to call in and tell me what you think. The number is 740-383-9944. Let me tell you that again. 740-383-9944. Yep, I am Glenn Coble, and I've been doing this for a while. I'm getting kind of used to it. But you know what's driving me crazy is it kind of makes me work, something I had gotten used to not doing. Well, when I was running for office last year, I worked every day, it seemed like. Well, I think I did every day, going out, knocking on doors and stuff like that. But this is a different type of work. This is kind of a brain work that I have to do. I'll wake up, like this week, I woke up on, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, at about 3 o'clock in the morning, had to take the dog out. But after I got the dog back in bed, I started to think about the show. And if you could see my notes that I have down here on my cell phone and on pieces of paper and scraps of paper, you would know that it was kind of a crazy evening. I wrote down a lot of things, and this show may go somewhere and it may go nowhere. So I hope you'll hang with me. And if you have some ideas about what you'd like to hear on the show, I'd love to hear from you. The thing I have been trying to do is give you a little biographical information so that you know you know more about who I am. I have just been doing this for a couple of months now, and people are starting to get to know who I am. But one of the things I thought about on Wednesday or Thursday night, whichever it was there are a lot of people out there that get fired. And it's a horribly emotional thing to be fired. And I thought, well, maybe I could bring my experiences of being fired. And maybe they'll help you if you happen to have that coming up, or if it happened to you recently, or for that matter, if it happened to you 10 years ago and you're still a little bit chafed from it. We all get a little chafed from it. And it took me a long time each time to get over the fact of how could they fire me? I thought I was doing such a great job. Excuse me, still have the cold. Thought I'd let you know. Anyway, I have had, believe this or not, I've had 21 jobs. And it's not because I get fired all the time. I was kind of restless, always trying to move ahead. And quite frankly, I was in intercollegiate athletics for 18 years. At two different universities. And so that only takes care of two of the jobs I've had. But the other jobs were, you know, you have to find something to make some money for a while until you get the job you really want. Or it includes when I was a paper boy. And I did enjoy being a paper boy. Well, I'm not sure I did enjoy it. My parents hated it because they had to get up with me 5:30 in the morning and help me get the Chicago Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times delivered sometimes when it snowed. But anyway, let's back to being fired. Most of the time, and I've been fired 3 times out of 21 jobs, most of the time, the firing for several weeks or at least a couple of weeks afterwards, I blamed myself, and I said, well, why did I do that? What happened? What could I have done that would have avoided that? And a kind of interesting side to that is after I got past that, I started resenting the person that fired me because I thought through all the different reasons why I might have been fired, and I always came to the same conclusion, I think everybody does. I didn't do anything wrong. Well, anyway, let me tell you, the first time I was fired, I was working at a radio station in the outside of Chicago, and I was sales manager, and I was also a newsman. When you're at a small radio station, you do just about everything. I think I even had a radio show at the time, and I know I did sports. So I was doing all sorts of things. But as a sales manager, I had several people that I talked to get them to sponsor our shows and stuff like that. And this was not a low-power station like what you're listening to right now, it wasn't a public broadcasting station. We had to bring in money. It was a commercial station. And we had one sponsor on the station who was thought that our station was espousing the wrong politics. And sorry about that. For some reason or other this morning, I'm getting all sorts of indications to my throat that I need to cough. Anyway, this person donated a lot of money, didn't donate, bought a lot of radio time. And he said to my boss, if you keep this person on, I'm quitting. I'm not going to advertise anymore. Well, the person happened to be the news director, who was a friend of mine, and also a pretty straight shooter. Back in those days, most news people were straight shooters. It was news and no innuendo. It was all news. Anyway, Rob was the news director, and this gentleman told my boss he was going to quit if we kept him on. I pointed out to my boss at that time that we did have the right of freedom of speech. And as long as we didn't libel somebody or lie about something, which anymore seems like it's gone past the way, but we didn't libel anybody, and we were telling the truth, and we only broadcast news. He had no right to tell us what to say. And I pointed out to him that we all have freedom of speech, including the news media. And my boss didn't like the way I responded. I guess I probably responded pretty harshly. So it started a bit of a, you know, that bad feeling when you walk by the boss's office and you hope he doesn't look up. Well, that's what it started. And after a couple of months, I realized he hadn't paid me in several months, and I was on commission, and it was a pretty sizable amount of money that he owed me, and so I was not in the best of moods about him anyway, so I determined to go in and demand my money, which he really did owe me. So I walked in and I sat down and I told him how much money he owed me and I would like to have it in payments or have it right away. He told me that I was fired. For that, I mean, I guess I should have seen that coming. I was pretty young. I didn't understand it. I've always thought that you talk honesty to power. If you try to kiss their derriere, all you become is kind of a, you lose your own personal value when you do that, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, so I got fired, and for the next couple of weeks, it didn't help that my wife was pregnant at the time, and we were pretty young, and had house payments. She was kind of scared, and I understand. I was not so much scared as angry, but I was pretty lucky. I almost immediately found another job and went to work at the other job, and so things balanced out. But for a long time, and even to this day, I remember that person's name with some angst and some anger. But suffice it to say, I thought it was my fault initially. For the first week or so, I kept saying, why did I do that? Why? Well, you can't beat yourself up. And I really believe that people need to stand up for themselves. And I know it's hard to do. But that's another reason why we all need to get educated. With education, you can move on to another job. The second time I got fired, that was kind of an interesting one. I was at a university. As a matter of fact, it was DePaul University in Chicago. And we had a terrific athletic director, Father Robert Gilo, and I think he's still hanging in there. Maybe the best boss I ever had in my life. Not because he was a priest, but because he was an honest person that cared about other people. He cared about our athletes. He cared about everything that went on around the university, and he cared about people in general. And Father Bob, that's what we called him, Father Bob, was really shrewd. He was a shrewd business person, and he was the guy that talked after we went to the Final Four in, what was it, 79, he talked his boss, the president of the university, into allowing us to go out to the Horizon, which is still a big arena on the northwest side of Chicago, and that's where we played basketball. Anyway, there were, believe this or not, there was a priest who really wanted to have a little power in the athletic department. And he started a movement to get rid of Father Bob so that he could hire a young man. And I'm not going to go into names or anything like that, but his power move worked out, and they hired a new athletic director to take the place of Father Bob. Father Bob, if you've ever heard of a priest being fired, he was basically fired, but what they did is they moved him to the lowest ranking job at the university. Boy, it's really got me this morning. Anyway, young man that came in, he did not like, he was jealous that I had gotten he was jealous that I had gotten the Blue Demon on WGN, and we had like 21 TV games, and we were getting pretty popular in Chicago, and we had an awful big following on WGN, and we were making good money. This is a long time ago, but we were making about $250,000 a year on on our basketball games, and that was pretty good money back in those days. And that didn't even include what we got from the national broadcasts. And I think that the year that I got fired, we made $250,000 from WGN, and we made, I don't remember exactly how much, but NBC or CBS, whoever was doing college basketball at the time, bought three of our games. So that was a sizable amount of money. And we also had a few games on ESPN. But let me tell you, back then, ESPN paid $5,000 a game. And now it's way above that. But that was back at the starting days of ESPN. But anyway, the young man that came in and took Father Bob's place was jealous that I had developed quite a following by the administration at the university. And he and this priest who helped get him a job worked very hard to try and get me fired. And they couldn't get me fired. No, the president liked me, and we kept going along for a while. And then he just came in one day. I was going on a spring break, and I went into the athletic director's office, and I said, I'm going to be gone for a week. And he said, don't come back. Well, I knew what that meant. Again, my poor wife was scared to death. What are we going to do? But I also had been working on the opportunity to be assistant athletic director down at Ohio University. And so things worked out fine there, too. But for a good long time, and maybe even a touch till today, I blamed myself for not handling my position very well. I've never been a big fan of authority, and any boss that ever was my boss will tell you that. Most of them I got along with, but I'm not a big fan of following rules. I'm a big fan of following rules. I'm not a big fan of following suggestions that I think are stupid. But anyway, so I got fired from there. I spent some time mourning that I had lost the job, but was lucky enough to immediately get another job at Ohio University, where in the first year I was given the highest raise, and I'm telling you this because of what I'm going to tell you about getting fired from OU. I got the highest raise in the university. I was received several awards for my publications and things that I had done, and I was the golden boy for a couple of 3 years down at OU in the sports information office and also as assistant athletic director. But I eventually lost that job, too. We got a new president that came in, and the new president decided he wanted to have his own team. Now, that probably is more logical than the other two, but I need to say this. The president that came in and told the athletic director to fire several of us because he was going to make OU the Florida State of Ohio, and suffice it to say, he never did. As a matter of fact, we had struggled to find a football coach for a long time, a good football coach. And we had finally found a very good football coach and in my last year there. And he spent, I don't know, 4 or 5 years as the football coach at OU, and he won quite a bit and then moved on to Wake Forest or someplace like that. Anyway, he was, the new president was bound and determined to get rid of all the weak people, and he was going to change Ohio University. Suffice it to say, it didn't really change. It did change in the football program because we hired this gentleman, and that did help the football program. But we were gone shortly after he took the reins. So anyway, if you're out there and you've gone through a firing or you've gone through being pushed out of something or downsized, that's a thing that's going on a lot. Don't blame it on yourself. Pick yourself up, brush yourself off, get your resume ready, and get out there and start asking people for another job. There are lots of jobs out there, especially now with the, 3.9%? That's the unemployment rate right now, and there are plenty of jobs out there. And another thing, if you're young and you have the, well, you don't even have to be young, but if you have the initiative to go back and learn computer programming. I was watching a show yesterday, I believe it was, how there were young people who were teachers that were being trained to teach, even though they were like a social studies teacher, they were being trained to teach computer programming. They were within, I think it was like 1 week of education, they could start out as a first, you know, a teacher to teach young people, and I mean really young, third graders, fourth graders, second graders, teach them how to program. I'm not sure, I'm using the wrong term, but anyway, you understand what I mean. There are jobs out there. And if you have to re-educate yourself, the worst thing that can happen is you might learn something. Anyway, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, the COBOL trip through life. I've got lots of things that I've done in my life, and lots of them were good, and some of them were not so good. But remember, always keep thinking. Always keep asking yourself questions. Even if it's a question about whether you did the right thing or the wrong thing, You can only get better if you keep asking yourself questions. And blaming it on other people is not going to help anybody. All it does is make you not very happy. Hey, one of the things I did also that night, Wednesday night, I pulled up the listing of all the House of Representatives at the one I ran for, state representative. I pulled up the listing of all the people that ran for it and were successful this year, and also pulled up the state Senate people. And I just thought I would let you know today, I truly believe that, well, as a matter of fact, I've heard that by 1930, the United States will be a minority-majority country. In other words, there'll be more of what we call minorities running, living in America than the good old white folks. The reason why I pulled this up is I just wanted to know who was progressive enough to move forward into that world. I was very disappointed to find out in the Ohio Representatives House, in the House of Ohio. Now, this is the state house, not the national. There are 52 white males that are Republicans. And 8 white females, no black males, and no black women. On the Democratic side of the House, there are 8 white males, 6 black males, 10 females, and 9 females of color, which shows the diversity. It's just amazing, the diversity on the Democratic side. In the Senate, there are 20 white males that are Republican and 4 white females that are Republican. There are 2 white males that are Democrat, 3 black males that are Democrat, 2 women, and 2 women of color. So once again, the diversity is moving to the Democratic side. Now, I'm not saying you should vote Democratic. I'm just saying what you should do is note that within the Democratic Party, we are trying to be all-inclusive, trying to extend out to our brothers and sisters. And if you've listened to my show, you know that I do not support racism. And I believe that all of us have a little bit of it in us just because of where we came. I've had people say to me, you're not a racist. And I say, yes, I am a racist. I notice that people are black, or I notice that they are Hispanic, or I notice that they're Oriental. I try pretty successfully not to cast any judgment based on that. One of the things that I try to do is keep the blinders on about that sort of thing. It's fairly easy to do, having my upbringing where I grew up in my first high school was an inner city high school, and my grade school was an inner city grade school. And so I grew up with all sorts of different people, which I absolutely love. I think it's wonderful to watch television as it changes. Nowadays, you see more and more mixed couples on TV. You see even gay couples on TV in the ads. And if they're appearing in the ads, they are only there because at least the attitude amongst the general public is starting to move a little bit that way, where we are fair, honest, and caring about our brothers and sisters who are of the human race. No other race. The human race. We are all members of the human race. And it doesn't mean that you have to pound that. I try not to pound on the subject of race. I do more when I'm on the radio show, but in public, I don't think you'll find me talking about it too much unless I'm asked or unless somebody makes a really, really outlandish statement. But anyway, that's where we're going. I did notice also, I didn't pull down the numbers, but I did notice that the national Senate and Congress are also mixed that way. The Democratic side is much more inclusive of all sorts of people. There are Muslims, there are black men and women, there are Hispanic people, there are Oriental people, there are gay people. Whereas on the Republican side, it tends to be the good old white boy or girl syndrome that they stay in. And I honestly believe we have to quit thinking that way. It doesn't make you wrong if you're thinking, well, it may make you wrong, but it doesn't make you bad if you think that way. It just means that that's what you were trained. That's how you learned. And we have to open our eyes. And that's what I say every week on this show, is that we have to use our thinking cap. We have to think about what other people tell us. I can't tell you how many times I've been told a fact that is a fact because a friend of mine told me it was a fact. That doesn't mean anything. If you question it, look it up. Think about it. If you question it, you don't have to throw it back in the person's face. You just look it up and say to yourself, well, that person was wrong about that. Okay. Or that person was right about that. I need to change my thinking. That's how I think we should act with each other. And hopefully we can find an easier way to treat each other if we act that way. Our lives, and this is one of the things I thought about a lot, but I couldn't really find us a theme to talk to you about, but our lives are like chapters in a book. And I've been through a lot of chapters. I have a memoir that I wrote that is 19 chapters long, I believe. And that's probably the number of chapters that I've gone through. And each chapter, you learn something new. Each chapter, you change your attitude or you move on. That's what progressive life is all about, moving on. You continue to read those chapters as you move forward. And it's good for you. It makes you feel good. It makes you know that you're going in the right direction. None of us have all the answers. I did hear something this week on TV that I thought was an interesting quote. And I'm just going to tell you this, and it has nothing to do with what we were talking about, but it happened to show up on my phone when I was scrolling here. Alternative facts are perjury. I love that. Anytime you tell somebody an alternative fact, basically you're lying. It's perjury. I thought that was funny. Some of the things that I thought about, and I'm not going to get into each one of these things, but some of the things that really anger me right now in our government is the racism that we have in our government, the hypocrisy, people saying one thing, people saying that they are true Christians, and then going out and beating up their wife or going out and saying, you know what I mean. They say things that you obviously know they don't mean. Or maybe they do mean them, but they're wrong. Hypocrisy is running rampant right now in our government, which is tied to lying. Lying also is part of hypocrisy. I also don't like murder. There aren't a whole lot of murders that we hear definitively about, but some of the foreign countries That's the way they take care of their problems. If you disagree with the dictator or you disagree with the boss, you may end up with poison in your system, or you may end up with a bullet through your head. Another thing that I really get annoyed about, especially in the United States, is the gerrymandering that we're going through. I don't like gerrymandering of Republicans, and I don't like gerrymandering of Democrats. We need to have one person, one vote, which we have totally gotten away from. We now go to whoever has the biggest area with the most of their own particular ilk, they win, or the biggest amount of money wins. Money is the root of all evil, as it says in the Bible. Actually, the love of money is the root of all evil, but the love of money is what causes people to do that sort of thing. Voter suppression. We have voter suppression. I don't understand why everybody that disagrees with that thinks that there is voter fraud running rampant, and they've done lots of studies on it. And it's, I hate to say it, but the voter fraud that we've heard recently, the only voter fraud that we've heard recently, other than voter suppression, which is fraud, but the only voter fraud that we've heard recently is might be down in Georgia with the state treasurer or whatever it was that won his position by pretty much getting rid of people of color in the voting rolls. I also am getting really tired of ignorance. Now, I'm not really good at reading. I'm slightly dyslexic, so I don't read real well. I'm not really very good at foreign languages. I'm probably better at sciences, but I'm not real thrilled about worrying about sciences. But I do think that ignorance, and when I say ignorance, I mean knowing ignorance. If you know that there are facts that would change your mind, but you ignore them because you're of the group that disagrees with them. And I'm thinking of global warming here, but it touches on many different subjects. If you knowingly, or even not so knowingly, but it's my side against your side type of attitude, if you agree with things that are not scientifically correct or supported, that bothers me quite a bit. Now, I'm going to tell you about a study that I saw a while back. There was a group of UCLA students, I believe they were, that did a survey. And they went out for several weeks at a street corner in California, or at a street, not necessarily a corner. And in California, if you if a person starts to walk across the street, the cars are required to stop. Not necessarily just at the crosswalks, but they went to a crosswalk that was marked, or several crosswalks that were marked, and counted the number of cars that ignored the fact that a pedestrian was getting ready to cross the street and just zipped right on by. That's against the law in California. What they did is they counted the number of people, they counted how many cars, and they used, I'm not sure what cars they were talking about, but higher end cars like BMWs, Teslas, you name the high end car, we all know which ones they are. And they put it in a category of, if the person stopped and he was, let's say he's driving a Chevy, that was understandable. If he didn't stop and he's driving a Tesla, that was understandable. The higher end cars did not stop nearly as much as the lower price cars, which would indicate, and it's almost just anecdotal, but it would indicate that people that have lots of money don't seem to care. They think they're entitled. And yet, we talk about all the poor people entitlements and how terrible they are. Well, there are also rich people entitlements, and they are far worse, in my opinion, than anything that people blame poor people for. Poor people are just scratching to get by. People that are driving a Tesla don't care. Anyway, that was an interesting study that I read, and it happened several years ago. I think it was like 10 years ago, but it still kind of indicated that the entitlement that people with lots of money seem to feel. I know a lot of people with lots of money that don't feel that way. As a matter of fact, my father-in-law had lots of money, and I know he didn't feel that way. Anyway, back to my phone and see what other things I wrote down on Wednesday night. We're getting close to the end. Don't forget, if you want to call in and call me bad names or anything, 740-383-9944. Another quote that I heard on television at 3:30 in the morning was, encourage courage. I love that statement. Encourage courage. We only have one life to live. At least that's what I believe, and I think that's what most people believe. That we're only here for a short time, and if you don't show courage, you're losing the opportunity to pass on to your youngers the strength of having courage. Along that line is, why do so many people want to tell others what to do and what to believe? We are all our own person. Now, I understand we have laws. You're not allowed to kill somebody. You're not allowed to rob somebody. You're not allowed to do a lot of things, but they're in the law. But we have people that judge people based on just the way they believe. My immediate thought goes to Christianity, just because I was raised in a minister's home. But for people to believe that you're a bad person because you're a black man and you married a white woman, that has nothing to do with you, and you have no right in the world to judge them. And that's the way I truly believe. We have to let, if it's against the law or against the religious statements of your church, then remember, it's up to God, your God, to judge that person. It's not up to you to judge that person. And I really hope that people will quit judging each other and let their God do that heavy lifting. this was one of the thoughts, one of the first thoughts that I had. I went into the bathroom and saw myself in the mirror. And as I came back, I thought to myself, wow, have I gotten old and ugly? Well, toward the end, you wonder where your beauty went. And I'm going to tell you this briefly. You don't have to remember it or anything. I was an actor, and I did do some modeling, so I wasn't a bad-looking guy. I wasn't the greatest-looking guy in the world, but I wasn't a bad-looking guy. It's gone. It's long gone. The beauty, though, in all of us is still there somewhere. As you get older, you realize the beauty is in the hearts of the people you're talking to. The beauty is in being a good person. The beauty is in helping other people. The beauty is in the smile you give somebody at the grocery store. The thanks that you say to the cop who's on the corner, the thanks for helping the little kids cross the street. That's where the beauty is. And we have become a totally beauty-oriented country right now. My wife happened to have the TV on this morning while we were having breakfast, and she turned to the Kardashians. And first of all, I'm not real fond of some of the surgery the Kardashians have. I'm Well, I'm going to leave it alone because it'll get into body parts that we don't need to talk about. But what I wish I could be around in 40 years when all those body parts are falling on the floor, all those body parts are sagging, and they just look like older women who have done too much to keep themselves looking young. There are some scary looking older women who have had lots of body surgery done. And so anyway, don't look in the mirror. That was the lesson that I learned on Wednesday night when I went into the bathroom right before taking my dog out. And my dog is 14 or 15 years old. She isn't so beautiful either, but I still love her. One of the things that I was thinking about Wednesday was, can a progressive life lead to a better civilization? I believe it can, but it kind of depends on what society calls progressive. And progressive is one of those terms that's really hard to define. Some people think progressive means taking one step at a time, moving forward with what you've learned. That's what I believe. Other people believe progressive means you're going to become a communist or a socialist or something like that, which I find a little disconcerting. A lot of people have asked me, do you think we're going to become a socialist country? We already are a socialist country. Our post office, our Social Security, our public works. I heard the other day, even the NFL is a socialist organization. And I thought, well, how can it be a socialist organization? Well, it's owned by the people who were forced to pay through their taxes for the new stadiums and also for the $70 million a year athletes that play. So don't be so frightened of socialism. Socialism has really helped capitalism. Capitalism tends to have peaks and valleys that are very sharp. They go up to a point where the wealthy people have way more money than the people that are not so wealthy. And then socialism tends to creep in at that point and draw them back down. Then they go back down, and then they come back up. And it goes in waves. And right now, we tend to be in a wave where those who make a lot of money are going to make even more money. And you and I, who make whatever we make, are pretty much going to stay where we are until we find a way to make it a little more fair. And one of the things that was brought up, and I've mentioned this more times than I should, one of the things that was brought up by one of the new Democrats in Congress was that, now I've forgotten what I was going to say about that. Anyway, we have gotten to the point where we take the word socialist or communist as meaning bad. And a lot of people have mentioned to me, who obviously think along the way I think, that Jesus believed in socialism. He believed that we should take care of the poor. He believed that we should help our friend, our other citizens. He believed that it was good to give to the poor. And so, therefore, he was kind of a democratic socialist. And the capitalism has really benefited from some of the socialist ideas that have been brought along. All you have to do is go back into the 30s when we were, actually the 20s, when the richest people in the world, or in the United States, were absolutely killing it. And the poor people were out on the streets. They were struggling just to keep by. And all of a sudden, the Depression came along. And the Depression hurt especially the people that didn't have any money, but it also hurt those that were huge capitalists. And the way we got out of it was FDR coming along with lots of social ideas like Social Security, the organizations that went out and improved the roads and improved our buildings, and the people that went out and built the Hoover Dam and places like that, which are all socialistic programs. So don't be so quick to jump on socialists. I think we should be quick to listen to everybody's thoughts and be quick to think them through. Always keep thinking. Always keep thinking when you hear something that you either disagree with or you agree with immensely. Ask yourself, why am I so disagreeable about this? Or why do I really love this? Sometimes you may be going too far either way. And I have to keep correcting myself on the very same thing. Well, anyway, it's been a nice day. We've gotten through the hour just about now. And I thank you for listening, putting up with me. And I hope that you will join us again next Monday when we have this program. I'm Glenn Coble, and the program is A Progressive Life.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For people like legendary comedian Shecky Green talking about meeting legendary talk show host Ed Sullivan for the first time.
Do you remember the first time you met him?
The worst time?
The worst
first time?
Both. We'll take both at this point.
First time, what's the first time? Does it rhyme? Either time. First time I met him, he came back to Vegas. Shecky, I want you to come on my show, and you are going to be one of the biggest things that I've ever had on my show. I did the first show, he says, you stunk. You'll never be on my show again. I said, did you remember what you said to me? But I don't care what I said to you then. Yes, I'll never forget that.
Now wait a second. So he told you you stunk, but who booked you again?
No, he had me on a contract.
Oh, so he had
to... He signed me for so many spots.
So he had to put you on.
Well, he really didn't. He could have paid me off, you know. He had me on again.
So after he said you stunk, when you came back the second time, what was the mood there?
Well, he said you stunk worse the second time. Shecky, I want to tell you something. You were worse tonight than you were the time before. Now, you're going to... I said, that's my act. That's what I'm doing intentionally. I'm intentionally stinking it up. Oh, I didn't know that.
So
you want to come back and do that again? Yes! And I'll really stink this time, Ed. My God! They'll turn you off!
Oh, my God.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Beltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair.
This is Patty Wooster with Marion Midget Football, a staple of the Marion community for over 45 years, providing sportsmanship, friendship, and exciting competition. To our Marion youth, 740-382-4558.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by Affordable Event Games, LLC. Address 141 South Main Street. Telephone number 740-262-6050. Facebook Affordable Event Games. This is Scott Spears looking down on the beautiful city of Marion from the WWGH News Chopper. If you would like to ever submit a news tip or an event to the WWGH News Department, email scott at wwgh1071.com and watch out for the chopper. Vanover Village Townhouses, located in Marysville, now renting 2- and 3-bedroom townhouses. Telephone number 937-642-3692.
Hi gang, this is Gallagher. You know WWGH1071.com is a place where you can live stream the show and find out what's going on right now. But it's also a place where you can find the archives of the golden oldies, the really good shows that we've had in the past. So it's all there. It's all there. WWGH1071.com. Why don't you go there now? What are you doing?
Talking Points with Seth Schollinger on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by Moral Companies, LLC. Leading the way with quality and service. Telephone number 1-800-554-3981. Website moralcompanies.com. Address Moral Location, 132 Postal Avenue, P.O. Box 26, Moral, Ohio 43337. Caledonia Location, 1592 Columbus Sandusky Road North, Caledonia, Ohio 43314. Celebrating 55 years of service.
Meadows Lawn Care and Landscaping is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-5638. Email meadowslawncare43302@gmail.com. Creating unique environments. Facebook, Meadows Lawn Care.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number 740-387-9050. It's now time for the obituary report on WWGH Radio.
Stephen Ray Bristow, age 66, of Marion, passed away on Wednesday, February 27th at Marion General Hospital. He is survived by his children, grandchildren, great-grandchild, 2 sisters, and 2 brothers-in-law. A celebration of his life will be held on Sunday, March 3rd at Blue Fusion Entertainment, 1340 Mount Vernon Avenue, from 4 to 7 p.m., for Stephen Ray Bristow of Marion. Karen Irene Chevalier, age 67, passed away on February 26th at the age of 67. She is survived by her mother, her sons, her brothers, grandchildren, and 1 great-grandchild. Respecting Karen's and her family's wishes, she will be cremated. Friends and family are invited to a Celebration of Life memorial service at 3:30 p.m. on Sunday, March 3rd at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, 540 Windsor Street in Marion. You may leave an online condolence at BoydBourneFuneralHome.com for Karen Irene Chevalier. William W. Trimmer, age 89, of Marion, passed away on Wednesday, February 27th at Marion General Hospital. He is survived by his daughters, a brother, sister, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, a great-great-grandson, and half-sisters. Visitation will be held on Monday, March 4th at the Boyd Bourne Funeral Home from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Reverend Nathan Macbeth will conduct a memorial service at 1 on the 4th following visitation. A private family burial will take place in the Waldo Cemetery at a later date for William W. Trimmer of Marion. Phyllis Ann Nicolisi, maiden name Rakes, age 76, of Marion, passed away at her home on Saturday the 2nd. She is survived by her husband, daughter, grandchildren, sister, sisters-in-law, brother-in-law, nieces and nephews. The vigil for the deceased, including music and prayers, will be held at 4 p.m., followed by calling hours until 7 p.m. on Thursday the 7th at St. Mary Catholic Church, 251 North Main Street. Mass of Christian burial will be held on Friday the 8th at 10:30 a.m. at St. Mary Church with Reverend Father Thomas Buffer, main celebrant, and Reverend Fathers Ryan Schmidt and Michael Nimox, co-celebrating.